It's called Stand By This Faith, and it's by Olympia Brown. Olympia Brown went to a theological school, the Universalist Theological School in the 1860s. She was the first woman ordained by a major denomination in the United States, first woman minister in the United States ordained by a major denomination. And she went on to become she was a minister, and she became a community organizer for suffrage, for the right to vote for women. And she, in 1920, was one of the few people who had been in the movement for 50, 60 years who was able to vote, because everyone else had died out before the vote had come. So I like that statement, stand by this faith. And I love our faith for its reality and its potential. We fail often, but we often try, and we can be good at helping each other out. We, as a religious movement, have good news to offer a troubled world, that we can change the world by our efforts, that we stand on the side of love, holding on to hope, no matter what the odds. And I love, and I've been a Unitarian Universalist for about 30 years, I love that on Christmas Eve, in our churches across the country, we have ministers that are telling their flocks that every baby born each and every day can be the hope of the world. For these reasons and more, I am increasing my pledge to the church this year, this month, by 50%. The board is asking the congregation to reopen the budget and to have a mid-year pledge drive, which will be now until the end of the last Sunday in February, February 24th, to solve our deficit budget. So we passed a budget last July of about $52,000, and we thought we'd have $52,000 of income and $52,000 of expenses, and we'd have a balanced budget. But we're in the red. We have a deficit for two reasons. You've noticed that Garth has not been at church since August or so. He departed the church, and with him, his substantial pledge, which was actually about 5% of our income. So we lost a good amount of money. And then in the summer and fall, the board made two decisions. We made a decision to increase Claire's pay for the first time in many years and pay her something like a livable wage. It was even across the year. So with 50 of us, we each need to contribute. Is it going? Not that it makes a difference, right? One way or another. So if we each contributed $20 a week, we each be contributing equally $1,000 a year, and it'd be $52,000. And then we have $52,000 expenses. It's all going out. And all our costs are what are called fixed costs. So what we're paying is The cost of the speaker, copy paper for the service. As I said, Claire's wages, office manager, the biweekly custodial cleanup costs, utilities, the mortgage, and paying for Sally as our musician. Everything else, including dues to the UUA in Boston and the Pacific Northwest District fees that, as a member congregation, we're obliged and responsible to pay. So while some of us can't pay $20 a week, $1,000 a year, some of us can pay much more. And what we're needing is every time we walk through the doors and sit down, it's there are those fixed costs to have this congregation and provide for each other. So my guess is that almost every one of us can pay more than we are contributing, and I'm asking you to think about your financial contribution and to consider pledging more. Now, as I said, we can't all do that. I can, and I'm gladly giving more. Now, I haven't always given more. As I said earlier, I've been a Unitarian Universalist for 30 years, and early on, I did not pull my weight or pay my full share. I had to grow into that. I had to hear other people testify about the joy of giving during pledge drives, and then I married a minister, and that really changed my perspective. That helped a lot. So I learned to tithe. Tithing is a biblical tradition of donating 10% of your income, 10% of your annual income. So I, for years, have been tithing. It doesn't all go to the church, but so if I have all my income is $50,000, I give $5,000 across a year, and I give about 3% to the church. So I'm giving to the church $1,650. And I don't have to think about it. I just make a decision based on my income and my tithe and my 3% to the church. I have a number, and that's my pledge. And it doesn't bother me to think, well, am I giving enough, because I have this little formula. So as I said, almost all our costs are fixed costs. That we can't make a decision not to run them. We, for instance, the custodial cost, we could decide to clean the building ourselves, but our decision is that we don't feel that we can maintain that responsibility, so we've contracted it out, so to speak. So, but we cannot do with paper for the order of service. We can't do with our speakers. You get the idea. In order to have an order of service, in order to have a service, we need an order of service. So I'm asking each of us to stand by our faith, as Olympia Brown asked us to do about 150 years ago. I suggest that you give until it feels good. I heard that at an early pledge drive when I was in Lansing, Michigan in the 1980s. He got up to tell why he supported his congregation, and he urged everyone to give till it feels good. And so I'm suggesting that, and that you give until you know that you're standing on the side of love. Board members are going to be sitting at different tables when we have soup together at lunch, and please talk to us. I made copies of the budget. It's in the back. You can take a copy home with you. You can talk to me or anyone else about it. There's only 3 or 4 changes in it. And so I want to say that I very much thank you for sharing this time and this space in your lives with me. Thank you very much.